Right along to number.
I'm good.
I looked over there as a courtesy. We're going to go into number five. This is 2020 Forest Restoration Project Approval Request, Briefing, and Decision. This is a one that was carried over from a previous meeting that we didn't take up. So,
And if I might just make a comment, this is work on WDFW lands, stewardship work.
Thank you.
Yes.
When we're ready.
All right. Well, while she's doing that, I can kind of get started.
All right.
So, Chair Carpenter, members of the commission, and Director Susswin, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Richard Tvetin, and I am the Forest Management Team Lead for the management of forests on fish and wildlife property. We have about 200,000 acres of forest on our lands. Most of them are dry forests that are fire dependent, and they were logged before we acquired them, and they do need to be actively managed. We have a team of four foresters that are permanent. We bring in two or three interns in the summer. And in April, I'm scheduled to come back and give you a summary presentation on our management strategy and our progress to date and the direction we're heading. So I'll get into more detail when I come back in April, but today I'm here to ask for your approval of two projects that we have scheduled. Anytime we have a project that's over 1 million board feet, we have to get approval from the commission. And since we've had some turnover, it's kind of hard to visualize what 1 million board feet looks like. But 1 million board feet is about 175 logging truckloads. So that's a pretty big project. But to be commercially viable, a lot of times projects need to be near that size to actually pencil out. And the commission has approved 9 such projects in the last 5 years. And this year I'm asking for approval for 2 projects. And I'm hoping that the PowerPoint can get up because I want to show you maps of where these are, what the current condition is, and what kind of changes we hope to make, and what the future direction of these are. The two projects that we're proposing, one of them is in Asotin County on the Weatherly Wildlife Area Unit. Okay. All right. See what I've got going on here.
Well, you're doing good.
You could just say imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of us have it, so you can go ahead and follow along.
All righty. Thank you, Cynthia.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one is the Weatherly Project in Asotin County, and this project will involves a 1.8 million board feet of timber removal, and it's a 300-acre project. And just for kind of a reference, if somebody were to clear-cut the forest, they would take 6 to 10 truckloads of logs per acre. And on this project, we're intending to take about 1 truckload per acre. So we go in and we take the smaller trees, the unhealthy trees, and the trees that are this, the species that don't really do very well with fire. So if you take fire off the landscape, you get a lot of grand fir moving in, competing with the species that are more adapted to fire and drought and insect outbreaks. And the idea is we'll leave about 20 to 40 of the biggest, best, nice trees per acre. And I'll show you a picture of that in a little bit. The other project is our Windy Point project in the Oak Creek Wildlife Area. This would be about 1.6 million board feet spread out across 800 acres. And we're taking about 3/4 of a truckload per acre. And this is a little little different site. We're leaving 25 to 35 of the best trees. And there's just kind of visual of where they're located in the state. Here's the Weatherly unit. And we've already done all the pre-commercial thinning that we can. So we've done 54 acres of pre-commercial thinning last year. These are smaller trees where there's no big trees. And now what we're going to do is come in and along that northern property line where there's really dark forest at the top there, we're going to thin those out, leaving the larger trees. And here's just kind of look at what it looks like. The far left is a picture of what it looks like now. There used to be big, widely scattered trees. They were all logged decades ago. And it's filled back in with lots of little trees. So our plan is to come and thin it out so that the remaining trees have room to grow faster and become larger. And then over time, we'll fill in and we'll get more kind of structural diversity and a nice, healthy, resilient mosaic. Now, on the Oak Creek Wildlife Area, that was a much bigger wildlife area. And we've been doing work there since 2014. We've already thinned about 3,000 acres, and we've done a little bit of prescribed burning. But we've only treated about 6% of it. We need to be working on that wildlife area probably for about the next 20 years. And this project would involve basically dealing with in two phases. And we'd go in probably in two different years, and we'd thin about half of it in the first year and kind of some north-facing slopes. And then we'd come back probably a year later and do on some south-facing slopes. And basically, here's a kind of a look at a previous project at Oak Creek. On the far left, really dense forest, lots of ladder fuels. And we'd come in, we'd open it up, taking out a lot of the smaller trees, do prescribed burning, and then let those trees grow into nice, big, fire-resistant clumps with a really kind of healthy mix of species and sizes. And that is it.
Mr. Thorburn, good time.
Yeah. So, well, I knew it was coming. So thank you. Good presentation. And yeah, we've been involved with some of these approvals previously. How do you control weeds after the project, understory weeds?
Yeah.
Is that done? And then I have a second question as well. Go ahead with that one.
Yeah, well, the wildlife area managers are, you know, it's a constant struggle to control weeds. And they're usually working along those roads anyways. But after we thin, there's more disturbance, especially around the landings and the burn piles. So usually they just kind of wrap that into their normal weed control efforts. If the work causes kind of a pulse in the weeds that's beyond what they can regularly handle, they let me know and we provide them with the resources so that they can kind of provide an extra level of weed control for 2 or 3 years until things kind of get well established and settle back down.
Okay. And thank you. My second question is, so we established this more historic normal structure in the mm-hmm. forest. How do we maintain, and you pointed out these are both the dry fire dependent forests, that's part of their ecology. How do we maintain this structure after we go through these big projects?
Yeah, well, that's a real challenge. We want to maintain as much of it as we can with prescribed fire, because that was the natural process that kept them in that in the condition that they used to be in. The problem is we can't always do that everywhere. So we're going to have to, in some places, mimic it as best we can with thinning projects. And that, in some cases, that may be coming in and doing non-commercial thinning every 15 years or so. But in some of the higher productivity sites, it may be coming in every 30 years and doing a commercial thinning. We've only really been ramping up in our management activities for about 20 years now. In some of them, we've come back and we've done prescribed burns once or twice, but we've yet to get to the point where we've come back in and had a second thinning operation. But sooner or later, we're going to have to start doing that. And it could be challenging because if you're taking out nothing but little trees,
yeah,
how does it pay for itself?
That reminds me, I did have one other question. So when you do the non-commercial thinning, what do you leave, slash piles, or how do you handle those?
Yeah, for the non-commercial thinning, we are required to pile up and burn the slash within 100 feet of major roadways as a fire protection to help DNR so they can help stop the fires along roadways. We're not required to do it everywhere. A lot of the historically, we hadn't done a lot of pre-commercial thinning, but we've got a big pulse of forest health funding this last year. So we did 4,100 acres of pre-commercial thinning, which is by far more than we've ever done. But a lot of that we did up in higher elevations. And the higher elevations don't burn as frequently, and they get a lot of snow. So in most cases, we just cut the little trees, let them lay on the ground. And then when you get 6 feet of snow, it just crushes them down, and they rot away pretty quickly. So most of the areas we've done pre-commercially thinning, we've just let the slash lie, except along roadways or anytime there's houses nearby or that kind of thing.
Commissioner Graybill.
What type of revenue, can you give an estimate of type of revenue that can be generated from this?
In the 17-19 biennium, timber prices hit a real peak, and we made about $700,000 of revenue in that couple-year period. But the timber prices are pretty low right now, so I don't think we're going to be repeating that. Near the Weatherly project, we did a project on the 4-0 Ranch last year, and it made $46,000 profit. That piece of property was purchased with Section 6 money, so we're only allowed to use that money on that same property. So we reinvested it and spent it on $46,000 worth of pre-commercial thinning. But this last year, the timber prices have been really low. And on the mount, we did a project in the Stimmelt Basin near Wenatchee, mm-hmm. and that one lost $120,000.
Oh.
It varies.
To the world of commodities.
Huh? Exactly. The timber prices dropped about 40% last year compared to where they were for a while. We anticipate that the Weatherly project will make a profit. Probably not very much, but it probably will make a profit. The Oak Creek one, I'll be happy if we break even.
Okay. Thanks.
Commissioner Linville?
So that was a great segue because I was going to ask, on the Weatherly project, if it does turn a profit, that goes into the general fund, or how does that?
It varies with what fund source was used to purchase the property. So if it was like a Section 6 fund source, the money can only be reinvested on land associated with that acquisition. If the project is done with RCO funding, it can be applied anywhere on the state where the land was purchased with RCO funding. And if it's PR, it's similar. So we've got these different pots based on the rules, the strings associated with the parcels.
Okay. This is a decision item. Does anyone at the front table have a motion? Commissioner Anderson.
I would make a motion.
I'll second.
Going to make sure I get the motion. I move to approve the proposed thinning projects as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Anderson and a second by Commissioner Smith. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Richard, thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.